This is Alyssa, and Tasha couldn't be with me tonight. She passed out. So instead of Tasha, I got the second best free, my husband.
Second best, okay. Hey!
Oh, you know, yeah. Tasha's, she's in there. I can't help it.
Yep, just keep talking, sure.
Yep. So last time when we updated y'all, we were at, the extended stay in America, like the first hotel. That was so long ago. That was like a month and a half, guys.
Garbage hotel too. 0 out of 10.
Do not
recommend that hotel.
Yeah. If you ever have to go to a hotel, please go somewhere else. Do not go to extended stay. That was sketchy and horrible. If you haven't heard of our update, I have some hotel stories that will prove my case of not going there. It was really bad. But, how was everyone's New Year's and Christmas? I hope everyone had a safe, happy holiday. We actually got a place and then immediately had to go to Ohio to see family, where me and Tasha was actually together. I think I posted a picture on Instagram, if not, not really sure. But yeah, and then after that, we got to come home. But good Lord, as soon as we got home, we were so busy.
Yeah. It's all kind of an exhausting blur at this point, right? Yeah, that whole week and a half is so fun, but so exhausting. And I think we're just happy to be home at this point.
Yeah, for real. As soon as we got home, though, we had to like unpack boxes and get the movers here and run around. We haven't even unpacked all of our boxes. Okay, look, listen, I'm working on it. That'll happen eventually. Oh, man. But yeah, Tasha fell asleep, so. Alright. So, if y'all forgot, this is actually one of my favorite cases, and I decided to do it because it was like a spooky vibe going on, so I was like, you know what? We're gonna do one of my favorite cases, my favorite stories, and it was the Amityville murders. I am obsessed with those movies. Okay, look, it's amazing.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I think you like all sorts of paranormal movies anyway, though, so.
Yeah, I do, but this one I've always liked. Like, I've seen every single freaking movie that has been made, even the, like, quote-unquote live film versions of it, where like new families move in and they record like what happened in the houses. Like, I've seen all of it, and they are scary as hell. Yeah, they're not real, but come on. They're scary as hell. You need to watch it.
Yeah, for sure. Twisted story. I'm pretty excited to hear this one.
I am a little sad, though, because after researching all of this, I'm a little sad. I'm not going to tell you everything, but you might get disappointed. But you won't be disappointed until, like, part two when we go into the Lutz family and hear their story. So you might be okay in part one, but part two, which will probably come out next week, you're definitely probably going to be a little upset, because I was.
So if you feel like being disappointed, stay tuned until next week.
Yeah. And also, I know Tasha would want me to say this, and I want to say this as well. If you guys are still listening and hanging around after we took such a long break, thank you so much. Like, we love you guys. We're at 111 followers on Instagram. So yay! That's exciting. I didn't think we would even reach 100 so far, and like now we're at 111. I can't talk. Bad sign. But yeah, thank you guys so much.
Thank you for all the support.
Yes.
And I also want to thank Cameron Dodds for the incredible intro that he's given us. That's wonderful.
Yes, that intro is a badass. I jam out to it every time I'm like editing, and I put it in the beginning. I'm literally sitting on my desk like, da, da, da. Okay, well, enough of that. Are you ready to hear about this?
Let's do it.
All right. Now, I am going to say, like I do in every beginning of horrible cases, that this is a big trigger warning. I will go into detail about how the victims was found, and it's gruesome. Okay, so you're gonna have to hold your breath for a little bit because it's bad. So
it's gonna be juicy.
Yeah, it really is. So, but let's get started. All right, Ronald Joseph DeFeo Jr. was born September 26th, 1951, to Ronald DeFeo Sr. and Louise DeFeo, and he was a child of five. He was the oldest. So already the pressure is on him. Okay. I'm the youngest, I wouldn't know, but I do know the oldest has it rough. So
yeah, is the oldest, I had it a lot rougher than my brother did. Sure.
I got away with so much shit, and my sister did not. Okay, so yeah.
All right, keep talking.
I know. All right, growing up, it was said that his father would rule with an iron fist, demanding respect from his children and his wife. So, like the first movie, the very original one that was done in like the 80s or something, had it right. He was very abusive, he was very strict, and this actually caused issues later between him and RJ, which I'm going to call him RJ or Butch throughout this. So if you hear me say RJ or you hear me say Butch, I mean Ronald Jr., just so you guys don't get confused.
He got Butch from school, right? His nickname from school.
Yeah. So when he started school, he was actually really short and porky, which same, you know. I'm still short and porky. Okay, listen. But yeah, they gave him the nickname Butch to fit him, and it kind of just stuck with him throughout his whole life.
That doesn't make any sense, but okay.
I mean, hey, it's a small town. They all grew up together, and they started calling him Butch back then. They're going to start calling him Butch now. Which, he wasn't porky when he was arrested or anything. Maybe it was just like a habit. I don't know.
That baby fat.
Yeah.
Of them, but the name stuck, I guess. Huh?
Exactly. A group of habit or something. But anyway. As time went on, he actually became really sullen, troublesome, and lazy, picking fights with like teachers and students any chance he could get, which is understandable. A lot of abusive households have that effect on kids. He would constantly come home black and blue, and one time he actually returned home with a stab wound in his back from a knife a classmate has used against him.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Like, I have come home from like with like a kick me sign on the back of my book bag. Never have I had someone hold a knife and stab me at school, okay? That's a little too much. Yeah, that's a little too much.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So his father actually wanted him to stick up for himself at school. He was all about, you know, if they start fights, you need to finish it, which that's how I was raised too. If someone else starts something, you're going to finish it. Or my mom would finish it when I got home. Okay.
Yeah.
But his father wanted to make it clear that at home, that's not how it is. That's not how it goes. He ruled, it was his world, and if he stuck up for himself, he was going to get beat. It's pretty much how his dad raised him.
It's just backwards. It's got to be incredibly confusing for him.
Exactly. It's like, you want me to stick up for myself, but only if it's not you. Okay. So, he was very strict with him, with Butch, and he kept him on a short leash since he was the oldest, which, like we said a little bit ago, you know, the oldest doesn't get away with much, and they get blamed for a lot. And in this case, he really did. He was on a short leash. This also meant that he would get the brunt force of all the abuse. So,
sounds like his dad had a really short temper then.
Yeah, like I said, if you watch the original Amityville Horror, like, they covered a lot of the DeFeos instead of the Lutz, and it is legit. Like, they did a really good job at portraying the father, because he really was abusive and an asshole. So, if you guys haven't seen the original, I would highly recommend watching that after this.
So before this is all before even getting into this nightmare house then.
Yeah, no. Yeah. This is like as soon as he is growing up and he's living in this, and then they'll get into the Amityville Horror House. Call it Amityville Horror House, but Amityville House. So yeah, this is before they even moved in. Now his father, he was said to lose his temper quite easily, and once he lost his temper, it was very hard to stop him. So he's kind of like, if the bomb explodes, you're all just going to kind of get burnt, and you got to deal with it, which is really sad. Now on July 28th, 1965, he actually surprised the family with the Amityville house. They didn't even know they were moving or getting a house. He's just like, hey, family, I bought us a house.
Oh, God. You'd think you would, like, run that by someone for a second.
No.
Oh, by the way, honey, dropped all of our life savings on this brand new house here.
You would think, but, I mean, he's a narcissist, 100%.
I wonder what he did for a living. I could.
He actually had, I'll talk about it later, but he actually had a dealership that he worked and ran.
Okay.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. So, but yeah, he's a narcissist. It's his way or no way. It's like, if he wants to do it, he's going to do it. So it kind of makes sense that he's just like, I bought a house. But still, you could have given him a heads up. Okay. But he loved it. He loved the house so much that he put a sign in the front yard that read High Hopes, and got every member of the family painted for portraits, which hung up throughout the house. So he made literally every single family member sit as someone painted him.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah. And he put them all throughout the house. All of it.
This man is a monster.
Yeah. Now,
like, oh, thanks, Dad, for the painting. Now can you stop beating me?
That's so messed up. But yes, that's, I mean, yeah. I think the last thing on his agenda would be to get the whole family painted, you know? Welcome to Wicked Wives, some dark humor. Now, even though they had a new life and house, he continued his abusive behavior, of course. But this time he was turning it on his wife now.
Oh, boy. boy.
Yeah, he accused her of cheating even though there was absolutely no proof, and he beat her daily. It's like when I was pregnant and I woke up and got so pissed at you because I had a cheating dream and I was so mad at you. It's like that. He woke up and was like, hey.
There was a woman in Florida recently that actually killed her boyfriend.
Oh my god, yes, I read about that. Yeah. I was like, girl.
Imagine
the fight that like was happening. Like that poor man. I 100% so sorry for him, but like imagine. Like I'm not cheating on you.
Low-key, for real though, this is awful. Like this guy's just a complete asshole.
Oh, you're gonna hate him even more.
Oh my god.
You just buckle up. It's about to come too. It's like you just buckle
Please
up. Oh, I will. I'm about to give you this tea. Alright, even though... Oh yeah, okay. So turning on his wife now, he accused her of cheating, and he beat her every day, and one argument got so bad that Butch grabbed his shotgun and loaded it, running down the stairs, and he stopped in the room and pointed it at his father saying, "Leave that woman alone. I'm going to kill you, fat fuck. This is it." And he proceeded to pull the trigger, but it jammed and didn't go off. So he could have killed his dad that day. And might have saved this whole entire massacre from happening, but no. You know. But
wow.
Yeah, and when it didn't go off, he just calmly lowered the weapon and walked upstairs as if, like, nothing happened. He's just like, oh, and then walked away.
Wow, shit.
Yeah. Now, this incident must have been a real eye-opening experience to Ronald, the dad, because... After that, he became a devout Catholic and placed shrines all over the house and prayed with his rosary frequently.
All right, you can't just do a 180 like that.
Well, babe, Jesus saves all. Okay,
oh
look.
Gosh.
I was raised Christian, it. Okay? So I'm not making fun of Christians. I was raised in it. But, like, yes, I agree. Like, there has to be some repentance, okay? You can't just be like, I'm a Christian and everything's wiped away, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got some karma coming to you.
Right,
and this
exactly.
is it.
You beat your family daily and you're just like, save me and you're saved. That doesn't work like
mm-hmm.
that. Like, what's a piece of shit always going to be a piece of shit in this scenario? I think.
Yep. And. This is sad because Butch and everyone was grown up around the abusive behavior. Butch actually ended up beating his sister. And his parents decided that now would be a great time to go see a psychiatrist.
And maybe some family counseling, you know, and maybe hold his dad accountable for all of this. Like, he just watched his dad beat his family for years, decades,
mm-hmm.
even maybe,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, obviously it's gonna have some psychological trauma.
Exactly. And like, but while he was there, Butch fought the therapist and was like, there's nothing wrong with me, I don't need your help. And yeah, the therapist was like, yes you do, let us help you. And he just like refused.
Well, it's because he grew up in that household. He doesn't know any other way, so he thinks this is all normal. I mean,
yeah, that's true. I never thought about that. Yeah, he probably sees it and he's like, I don't need help. This is what's
yeah,
going on.
Yeah, I don't
on.
See anything
yeah.
wrong here. My dad, you know.
Yeah, my dad does it every day.
This is a Tuesday for me, motherfucker.
Yeah, he's probably like, my dad does this every day and he doesn't need therapy. Why should I? So
yeah,
exactly. That's a good point. So Ronald, the dad, actually decided that Butch needed to do something to, like, take his mind off of everything and maybe distract him. So he ended up letting him work for him at the car dealership, which was a very dumb and stupid idea, but hey, we're about to tell you why. Everything was fine until one day a worker sent Butch and another worker on a bank run. He had $1,800 in cash and $20,000 in checks. They were gone for 2 hours before coming back and claiming they were robbed at a red light. Yeah, no, that don't happen. Ronald went off on the worker saying, why would you even send him in the first place before calling the police? Because even Ronald was like, no, that shit don't happen. Like, no, back up. And Butch ended up coming up with a story and a description of the robber. Like, he made up this whole story about how the robber came up to him. This is what the robber looked like. But all in reality, he's the one who took the money and agreed to split it with the other worker. So, his dad knew this, of course. And pushed the cops to get the truth from him. So the more the cops questioned Butch, Butch became more aggravated. Surprise, surprise. Just like his dad. He even slammed his fist against car hoods to show how upset he was, along with cursing them over their questions. So he's like making this huge ass scene about how like, he's innocent. This isn't what's going on. Screw you guys. Cursing them out. Punching shit. Pretty much throwing a whole tantrum.
Yeah, it's blown it completely out of proportion to try and get a rise and question it. But
yeah, I'm pretty sure because like when I was that young, I would also throw little tantrums because I felt like if I threw tantrums, they would just get sick of hearing me and they'd walk away. Didn't work like that, okay? But, I mean, that was my thought process, so that's probably his thought process, is if he does a big enough scene, they're going to be like, okay, whatever, and walk away.
Yeah.
But that's over, like, 29,000, something like that. I don't do maths too well.
$1,800, okay. I'm wondering how you feel about cashing the checks, though.
I mean, if he would take them to the bank.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I have no idea.
Just cash it for me. Yeah, I guess yeah. So.
Plus, I mean, it is his dad's account. I mean,
and
he might
it,
be able
1970s?
To. Yeah, it's like, I will tell
yeah.
you.
Okay.
Yeah. 65, 1965.
Shit, he could have bought cigarettes for his dad when he was younger. And he was
yeah, exactly. So.
Relaxed back then.
Yeah. You could have a freaking sip of brandy with dinner. Okay. So, a couple days before the murder, we're going to start there now. The police asked Butch to come to a lineup and see if he can spot the robber. At first, Butch agreed. He was like, yeah, let's go. I can do this. But then backed out that day. So, you know. He's like, actually, I got plans. Sorry.
Right.
His father even fought with him about backing out and not cooperating with the police. Like, he was pissed, which, you know, that's understandable. And he said, you've got the devil on your back. Which Butch replied, you fat prick, I'll kill you. And then he sped off in his car. That's like such a temper tantrum, man. Like, your parent being like, oh, you're such a horrible kid. And then be like, right. Screw you. And then you just turn and walk away all like dramatically in your car. Like, oh, man. But, okay. I do believe this is kind of where... Yeah, this is where the murder takes place. So I'm going to, again, trigger warning, everyone, take a deep breath. Let's get ready for this, because it is horrible. I'm not going to tell you what happened to the victims until, like, the very end where the autopsies and stuff come in, but we're about to go into the murder. Okay. On Wednesday, November 14th, 1974, Butch sat in his room staring at the space in his wall that he kept guns. He had like a little crawl space in his wall, and he would like stash his guns there. And he collected guns for some reason. Like we said, it's like 1970. You could fucking get brandy on the side of the road and be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he would collect them and sell them when he needed cash. He was the oldest, so he was privileged enough to get his own room, but his violent behavior also helped that as well. None of the other kids wanted to be in the same room with him.
Yeah, which... I don't think I'd want to sleep next to my brother if there was a chance he'd just wake up in the middle of the night and beat me up.
Exactly. Like that, what was that movie where it's like the camp, summer camp, and all the kids get like soap in the blankets and like start beating this other kid up? It's gonna be like that. I can't remember the name of the movie.
Are you talking about Full Metal Jacket?
No, I've never seen that. I don't know. Forget it. Forget I even said anything. Okay.
Go ahead.
It is a thing. Family Guy made fun of it. Okay. Anyway. So he ended up grabbing a .35 caliber. I can't do guns. Okay, so bear with me. It's a .35 caliber Marlin Martini action rifle and loaded it.
You can just say .35 caliber Marlin.
Look, I'm being specific here, okay? I'm gonna give you the details in full. All right, so he quietly crept into the halls of the house and slunk into his parents' room. He stared at them for a while, gun in hand. He was probably thinking about what he was going to do. That's my thought. But then he lifted the gun and shot his father twice in the back. His mother actually woke up with the gunshots, and as she was turning to see what was going on, he quickly shot her twice as well. One by one, he paid the family members a visit, only to leave with their blood on his hands. Did you have something to say?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Now, sad thing is, the family dog was outside, tied up to the boathouse, and going off because of the gunshots. But, of course, that didn't stop Butch, which, that hurt me so bad. That poor dog knows what's going on. He can probably smell all the blood. Poor baby. He's just barking away.
The whole family died, and you're concerned about the dog.
Yes! Okay, that poor puppy.
Did he kill the dog?
Well, you know, no, he did not. The dog survived.
Okay.
Yeah, but still, right. Okay. The poor puppy.
Traumatized, certainly, yeah.
Yeah, okay, but anyway. After he was done killing everyone, he ended up washing up, shaved, and quickly got into full clothes, like fresh clothes, all of it. He then placed the dirty clothes in a pillowcase before walking to the dock behind the house and tossing the rifle in the water. He then drove to Brooklyn, New York, to throw the pillowcase in a sewer. Just a random sewer.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I want to know his thought process on this, actually. So you put the murder weapon right behind the house.
Yeah.
but you put your clothes. Brooklyn. Yeah. Yeah, he drove to Brooklyn to empty the clothes.
And he was just like, you know what? I want to go to Brooklyn right now.
Why wouldn't you take the gun to Brooklyn as well and hide it in a different location in Brooklyn? Not like on the crime scene in the water where we can just easily like look down and be like, oh, there's a rifle. You know, like, I don't understand it, Butch. Alright, so, after he was done getting rid of the evidence, he proceeded to go to work that day and start his alibi. He arrived at 6 a.m. and tried to call his house a few times to show he wasn't getting an answer. So he, like, arrived to work, started calling his house like, oh, I don't know why people are answering, I don't know. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then he left around noon because he was bored and his dad didn't show up for work. So he's like, well, dad didn't show up, so I guess I'm going to go. Yeah. He ended up going to his girlfriend's house, whose name was Mindy.
This man has a girlfriend.
Yeah, I said that too when I was researching this. I was like, he actually has a girlfriend, like with the abusive behavior and be really? Okay. But she was 19 years old and a waitress, so she's young. Yeah, she's young. Not brainless. Come on, there's some smart 19-year-olds out there. I was not one of them.
Anyway.
Damn it, you made me snort. Anyway, Butch tried to call his house again, putting on a show of being concerned he wasn't getting an answer, but then dismissed it. So again, he's at his girlfriend's house calling and being like, oh, they're not answering, I'm getting worried, but it should be okay. You know? But yeah, and then they called and was like, oh, they're not answering. And then, so this worried, concerned son, guess what he did after? Just murdered his family, is acting concerned. What's the first thing you do? You take your girlfriend on a shopping spree at the mall. Yes, you got it. You got it. You knew exactly.
I get a hold of my entire family all day long since I left at 6 a.m. You know what I'm going to do?
Let's hey, go honey. On a shopping spree, babe, you know.
I'll buy you those new shoes. Come on.
Get your sneakers out of the dishwasher. Today's your day.
I stole all this money from my dad and got away from it. I've got some spare cash.
Let's yep. Go. And then also, while they were shopping at the mall, he met up with two friends. And they bought $5-$10 bags of heroin and shot up before heading to the bar.
What the fuck is going on here?
I just killed my family. Woo! Like, okay.
You buy a bunch of dime bags of heroin and go to the bar?
For real. Like, no remorse at all through this.
Let me try my family again. Nope. All right. Let's buy this heroin.
Let me try my dead family. I mean, my family again. Oh, nope. No answer. Like, oh, God.
Should we go home and check on him? Nah, let's go get drunk at the bar.
Yeah, like, really. Like, there is no remorse in this. And also, everyone listening, we're not laughing at this. Like, it's horrible. It's just, I can't believe the audacity of this man. Like, just... You just murdered your whole family, and you're just like, whoop, let's go to the mall on a shopping spree. Like, who does that? Like, seriously. Okay.
Jesus.
So while they were out at the bar and everything, he said, he was later quoted saying, he was out of it. And he actually forgot what happened at his house. He sort of blacked out. So in this heroin-induced high of shopping sprees and bullshit, he completely forgot about what he just did and kind of blacked out and forgot all about it, I guess. I don't know how you forget about murdering your whole entire family.
What did I do yesterday?
Oh,
right. Yeah. Like, shit. Okay, sure. I wish I could forget shit like the dishes need cleaned or fucking.
That's going to be my excuse from now on. Can you take out the trash? I'm sorry, I completely blacked out and forgot what happened.
Babe, the dishes need done and. You didn't fix dinner. Oh, I'm so sorry. I blacked out. I was on a shopping spree.
I was doing heroin and going on a shopping spree.
Jesus.
Sorry.
My God. That just shows how much they meant to him. Like, just, it's so sad. Like, really, dude? Like, I get your father, okay? Let's be honest, guys. I get the father. I get why you would want to kill him. But your mom... Your sisters, your brothers, they didn't do shit to you, man. Why? You know? But anyway, I digress. Okay, so. At the bar, he was heard talking about not being able to reach anyone at home. Again, He's being concerned. He can't reach anyone. He's been trying all day. He's putting on that act. And he even said that he would have to get home and break a window to get inside. Because he was, like, loudly saying that he thought nobody was home and that he would have to break a window to get inside because he didn't have a key. Like, he was doing this whole entire bit. And his friends told him to do what he has to do before he left. So they're like, yeah, man, just do what you gotta do to get inside. It's okay. It's okay. And then he left. But then he returned a few minutes later, screaming, Bob, you have to help me. Someone shot my mother and father. Now let's take a pause. You live I know it's a small town, okay, I know it is, but you just left a couple minutes ago. How would you have gotten to the house, seen what was going on, and then rush back into the bar in only a couple minutes?
Oh my god.
And nobody thought this was weird? Okay.
I'm sure he's at a bar, so probably a little tipsy, you know? Like, I guess I could see at that point that if it starts to get a blur, time flies when you're having fun, I guess, you know?
And, I mean, they are shooting up heroin, so I guess they probably don't even know what time is right now. But, I mean, still, the bartender didn't notice. I don't know. I don't know. It's just a little fishy to me, okay?
Literally a few minutes. He like walked outside, walks back inside. Yeah. Someone killed my family.
Yeah, he like walked outside, took a deep breath, and Bob, oh my god, you gotta help me. Yeah. Alright, now after he ran out in there and made a scene, Butch and a bunch of people actually went to his house. And then went inside to find the bodies of two boys and his parents. So they found his mom, dad, Mark, and John. So.
Wait, where's the sister?
They are actually upstairs, and they don't find him till a little later. So.
Hurt. Okay.
Yeah. So this is Joe Yeswit. He was a friend of Butch's, and he is the one who actually ended up calling the police. And, by the way, the police call is absolutely horrible. Like, yeah. But it is absolutely horrible. The police call, I'm not going to read it all because that would be too much, but she's like, hello, can I help you? And he's like, the guy is like, we have a shooting here, DeFeo. And she's like, what's your name? She tells him, Joey. And she's like, can you spell that? And he's like, yes. And he starts spelling it. And then she's like, he's like, Y-E-S-W-I-T. And she's like, Y-E-S. And like, they literally have to repeat this. Like, four freaking times he has to repeat his name. And then he's like, and then when he's giving her directions of where this house is, she's like, what? What's the problem? And he's like, it's a shooting! And she's like, oh, there's a shooting? Anybody hurt? And he's like, everyone's dead. Like, if... I will post the
transcript.
Not the transcript. I'll be posting the links in the description of this. And you can go and read it for yourself. But it is just so stupid. And then the officer gets on the line and he's like, who is this? And he's like, Joe. And he's like, how do you spell it? So for the third time, this man is spelling his name for them, Oh my God, I just got flashbacks to like I had to make a doctor's appointment for my daughter today, and Jesus Christ, I had to repeat my name 5 times. I had to spell it about 4 times. I had to repeat everything 3 times, and then when we hung up, someone else in the office had to call me and make sure everything was put in correctly. So I had to repeat everything another time. Like, bro, come on. Really?
I love how this case is what, like 46, 45 years old, and people still have not changed.
I know, right? Like,
Customer service people are still awful.
this is a dire emergency, and you're like, can you spell that? Like,
It's not like Joe is a hard name to spell either.
it's like,
Even if
okay,
you
guys,
change it. Even
like,
if you make it saucy a little bit and add a Y to the end of it, it's Joey. It's not like it's gonna be hard to spell.
it's like after he said people are dead, I wouldn't care about
Right.
anything else. I would be like, all right,
Yeah.
give me the address. I'm sending them now. Not like
Exactly. Joe
everyone's
left
dead.
your
Oh no, hold on, let me get the officer. What's your
name.
name? Like,
How do you spell that?
it's just like, oh my
Wait, let me get a
God.
pen.
Yeah, like hold on, let me write this down somewhere. Damn it, Barbara, you got a pen? Like,
Joe, it's a pretty exotic name, huh?
God, I just it
Suffer there are people
baffles
dead
me.
here.
Like, okay, look. If I was in an emergency situation, I would just dread calling 911, okay? Because of this shit right here. Like, they ask me a billion questions. Where are you? Who you with? What's happening? And I'm in a closet hiding from a murderer. Like, just send help, please. Like, what's your name and date of birth? Can you spell that?
Please send help. There's a killer here.
There's a
What's your
what?
name?
Can you spell your name? My
What's your
God.
social security number? Just real quick. Can
Oh, do you
you
know
repeat
your
that for me?
address? Like, I'm gonna tell you a whole ass address.
Can you speak up? I'm having a really hard time hearing
Yeah. Like, ugh.
Anyway.
Yeah, let's move on because good Lord, I have so much shit to say about 911 operators and none of it's nice. Some of them do a great job, okay? Don't get me wrong. Some of them are like awesome. But then you get those ones that's just like, what the hell are you doing? For
Right.
real. Okay. But again, I digress. So yeah, he calls and it's horrible. When they finally did arrive, about an hour later, the cops went inside to find the 4 bodies, then called their headquarters to report it. So, like, after he reported the bodies and got the police had to call headquarters, like, yep, they're dead. There's really, like, yeah, who would call and joke about that? At this time, Butch told everyone he also had 2 sisters, and when they did another sweep of the house, they found the last 2 bodies upstairs in their rooms. So Butch is just like, oh, by the way, I had 2 sisters. Might want to go scope it out again. Like, really? It didn't occur to
That
you?
door up there to the right.
Yeah, not to the right, not the left. Like, it
Had
didn't
two
occur to
sisters,
you.
their room was to the, yeah, you just go up right past the bathroom.
Yep, don't mind that. That's my gun collection, you know. Yeah, but which they do find that soon, I'll tell you that. But it didn't occur to you while you were on the phone with the police, panicking, apparently. Like, I can't. I can't. Anyway. By this time, lots of bystanders and police were swarming the house. So this has become like a media frenzy. There is like bystanders standing outside looking, you know, nosy neighbors, but there's also like police people coming and like all this other stuff. Excuse me, burped a little bit, which I'm actually going to show you right now. If you go into the Wicked Wives chat, this was the picture of like them before this massacre happened. Isn't it nice? Here's a second one. I will upload these as well, by the way. Don't worry, you guys will see. And look at the cute little puppy.
That's Ronald there.
Yep. Ronald, and then Ronald Jr.
That's the dirtbag dad.
Yep. Doesn't he look like a dirtbag? And dude, the actor in the original Amityville Horror looks just like this dad. Like, the casting role, on point.
Yeah, even the brother. That's pretty cool.
And then this is actually them taking bodies out of the Amityville house. It's not gruesome. I'll post this on Twitter and Twitter, mostly Twitter. If you're not following us, then follow us. I don't know why you're not. But, yeah. But that's them carrying bodies out of the house. So.
Okay.
The neighbors next door actually knew the DeFeos very well and were nice enough to let the police use their house as a base, where they started to ask Butch questions, and like people would come and go to report shit they found and all that. Okay. Now in the questions, they wanted to know what he did that day. So Butch told them his long tale that he took all day to create, and of course he left out the heroin and the bullshit, obviously. But he said he was watching a movie and passed out around 2 a.m. I want you to think about this, okay? Because this is a bunch of bullshit, and anyone who heard it should have known. He was watching a movie and passed out around 2 a.m. When he woke up at 4 a.m., he has stomach pain and needed to use the bathroom. When he went upstairs, yeah, he had to take a shit. Or throw up. I don't know. Either one. He had Taco Bell. Come on. I can't say that. Taco Bell's beautiful. Okay. When he went upstairs, he found Mark, his brother. His wheelchair was in front of the bathroom door. Now, I had to dig on this. Apparently, Mark had to use some crutches due to an injury from football. I think, like, he got his back blown out or something. And then he had to use crutches for a while. So they got a wheelchair for him. Would have been easier.
Right.
So Butch decided to go into work early, leaving and getting there at about 6 a.m.
He's always been such a model worker, you know, stealing the money is not.
Right. He always came on time, which that's bullshit. He was always late. But this one day he decided he wanted to be on time.
Yeah.
The rest of the story is pretty much what I said earlier, but of course, like I said, leaving out the drug usage.
Why not tell the police you bought 5 dime bags of
heroin? Yeah, man, why not? I mean, he's trying to look like the innocent child he is. Come on. But when they asked who could have done this, Butch immediately pointed a finger to Louis Fellini, who was a hitman of the mafia. Which, okay, this should have been red flag number one. Anyone in a crime case that, like, when you're like, is there anyone you could think to do this? And they immediately have an answer without skipping a beat. Like,
Louis Fellini, he's got to be the guy.
Yeah, like, that's never a good sign. So, yeah. So he said that Fellini actually stayed with them for a while and knew of a storage room in the basement where they hid their jewels and possessions. So now the police have a suspect, which, okay, I want to say right now, the movie Amityville Horror, you know that little red room, quote unquote, in the basement where he goes and walks through and all this crazy shit's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not legit, okay? That's the storage room he's talking about, and it's literally just a closet where they kept their shit.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that was fabricated, and it was like exaggerated tenfold for the
Right.
spoop factor. So, they did another sweep of the house, making sure they didn't leave anything behind. And when a detective found all of the gun boxes in Butch's room, he actually thought it would be important, so he took all of that. He had no idea that that would be huge later on, because the box to the gun was in that box. Boxes.
the rifle box?
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, so he got rid of the gun. Yeah.
Wait a second. So you're telling me this man took his gun out back, took his clothes to Brooklyn, but left the fucking gun behind?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Give me a sec. I'm going to go throw out all my headphone boxes just in case I want to use those for weapons later.
Yeah, legit. Like, he got rid of everything but one little thing, and the detective didn't even look it over. It took until the next detectives came around to find this.
It's a 35 Martin.
Yeah.
Box, huh? Interesting. Okay, whatever.
Okay, so now trigger warning again, because this, I'm talking about the autopsies. The autopsies came back, and I'm about to tell you what they found. So prepare yourselves.
Okay, I just want to read Ronald's.
Okay.
All right, yeah, because he was a piece of shit. I think he had this coming. The rest of them is terrible.
Yeah.
Very terrible. But I think Ronald kind of had this one creeping up on him. You know, you can't just turn to Jesus all the time and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like I said, I don't feel so bad for Ronald. Like, being a domestic violence survivor, I do not feel sorry for you at all. Like,
it would be my honor to read his autopsy report today.
Okay. Free, tell us what happened.
Let me sip my coffee, huh?
Sip your coffee. I guess I'll sip my Pepsi.
So Ronald was shot 2 times. The first bullet hit his kidneys and spine. Then the second bullet went through his neck. He died instantly. It's just a damn shame. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
That is all for Ronald's.
Oop.
Insta-kill.
Insta-kill. Yeah, no. Like I said, it was shot in the back. The one bullet went through his kidney and spine directly, and then the second bullet literally went through his neck, and, like, just, he didn't even have a chance. So, yeah. All right, so the sad part.
Yeah.
Louise, the mother, she was shot 2 times as well, but because she was turning to see what was happening when she got shot, the first bullet went through her back and chest and out of her left boob and wrist. So if you can imagine her turning on her side, it was like shot, you know, all the way through her left side. The second bullet actually went through her right lung, her diaphragm, and her liver.
Good God.
Which, it's horrible, but what a shot. You know, that's hard. Hard to do. But still, that's fucked up. Anyway, Mark 12 and John 7. They were both shot the exact same way. They were shot 2 feet away from Butch. So he was so close to them. One single shot went through their heart, lungs, diaphragm, and liver. The only difference was John's spine was severed. Like, completely severed.
Jeez.
Yeah. Allison, 13, one of the sisters, she woke up and also turned towards the door to see what was going on. The bullet ended up going through her left cheek to her right ear, entering her brain and skull before hitting the wall behind her. Gunpowder on her eyes proved she was wide awake and staring down the gun barrel. Isn't that so horrific? Just, okay, and then Dawn, 18. This is the oldest daughter. She was shot 3 feet away, so again, close range. And the bullet went through her left ear and collapsed the left side of her face. Brain particles on her pillow and period blood on the sheets. So, that's the autopsies. Whew. Got through that.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a breath after that one.
Yeah, for real. Oh, that's just shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. Oh, that's so sad. Allison, the boys were really bad, but I think Allison was the one that got me the most. Like, she literally had gunpowder on her eyes, and like, she turned around and saw Butch about to shoot her.
Yeah, I think the Mark and John were just kind of, you know, in death.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly still sleeping, but yeah, Allison is really rough. And then I also don't understand that. I guess I'd have to see kind of how their rooms are set up, because after Ronald and Lise got shot, I mean, I would probably wake up if I heard two gunshots go off in my house.
You are actually in luck, because I have a picture for you. I came prepared. Okay, so this is actually diagram one, and it will show you. So Ronald and Louise is in this bedroom, which, okay, you walk up the stairs, they're the first ones to go.
Right, so they're...
You walk out...
Right, to the right, then.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then you walk out of their bedroom and go straight across to John and Mark's bedroom, and that's who was next. Out, turn right, and Allison is right there.
So it took Allison, what, 3, 4 gunshots in the house for mm-hmm. her to wake up? This woman was a light sleeper, or a heavy sleeper.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
After they shot Ronald, I would have probably woken up and then something happened.
Well, I mean, even the boys, they were face down and, like, wasn't moving or anything. Like, they were heavy sleepers as well. But, like, Allison, I kind of get, because, like, in the middle of the night, I'll wake up and I'll lay there still. Like, did I just hear that? Was I dreaming that? You know, like, I feel like that's kind of what she was doing. She was like, did I really hear that? Did I do it?
Yeah, I guess I can't say much, because in the moment, it's so surreal, you know, like, yeah, am I hearing things, or is...
Yeah, because, I mean, actually, you never think that someone's about to break into your house and, like, shoot you guys. Like, you would probably be like, what was that noise? Like, if I did hear it, maybe, yeah, like, someone slammed a car door outside, or, you know, you don't think
you don't
like that.
Survival mode right away.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard cops talk about that all the time. Your brain wants you to think that it's something reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain actually tells you that this is a real thing. Like, oh, okay, someone set up a fire, where someone dropped a book too hard, or,
yeah,
you know, but
even in reality, like, yeah, in reality, you're fucked.
It's like school shootings. It's the same way. You know, it's terrible. It's tragic, because people just don't. It doesn't click for people, like, that was a gunshot, we need to act now. It's more of like, oh, that was just something else.
A locker slamming really hard sounds like a,
yeah,
gunshot. Okay, so
yeah, exactly.
You could be like, oh, someone slammed their locker too hard, but then in reality it's like, oh no. You know, or like haunted houses. Some people don't believe in it, but I do. Like, a lot of people think that the stuff happening around their house is just, you know, something explainable, but then to find out it's actually not. Yeah, stuff like that, you know? So that's probably what she was doing. She was probably trying to figure out something that noise was. that right. I think that's what she was doing.
So you said the first detective didn't catch it, but around this time there were new detectives then to take on the case, or?
Yeah, so after this happened, they kind of gave it down to new detectives because they were baffled, they didn't know. So they had two detectives named Detective Dunn and Detective Rafferty take over the case. And every time I say Rafferty, I think of Rafferty's, you know, like a fun place to go. Like, he was not a fun place to go, okay? He
and was. I actually know someone named Dunn as well.
Do you? Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know if he's related.
Probably, you know, the 70s. They were all swinging back then. Anyway, they were actually accused later, though. These two cops were actually accused later by citizens. She used cruel ways to get information, like torturing and shit. So, they're not really that great. but, when they looked over the case, they realized that the time of death, which was 3:15 a.m., would put Butch at the murders with his alibi. Yeah. That's why I said remember his alibi, because... So yeah, they actually grabbed Butch and took him back to the station and read him his rights, and they said that the gun that he used matched the box in his room, and your alibi put you at the time of the murder because you were quote unquote sleeping until 2 to 4 a.m. So they were like, listen, you're a bullshitter. We found you. This shit don't make sense. You're going to jail. And, like, he knew he was losing because basically they told him, hey, I'm reading you your rights. You're going to jail. He decided to change his story, which, bad move, okay?
Yeah.
Don't ever change your story.
Don't I do it.
Red flag number two. He said now that Fellini, remember the mafia man? Mm-hmm. Fellini and another man who he couldn't remember what he looked like, but he could remember the quote-unquote robber who robbed him.
Yeah.
Okay. But he can't remember what this man looked like.
Same guy.
Yes, it was the same guy, Robert all. He wasn't wearing a ski mask this time, I don't know. Anyway, they woke him up with a gun against his head. And then he explained that Fellini made Butch watch as he shot each family member. And the detectives weren't buying it, of course. Like, that's a stupid... Yeah, thank God. They ate his Wheaties, what the fuck ever. The Wheaties? The fucking Wheaties!
The Wheaties, yeah.
They ate the Wheaties! Because he was sharp today. He's like, that's a bunch of bullshit. He's in the mafia, Butch. They would have made you do something. They would have made you kill somebody in your family. They would have made you done something. That ain't happening. So, they continue to grill him. And Butch told them to give him a minute. He's like, now come on, hold on, give me a minute. Okay, let me think about this. Think about what, Butch? Think about what? And they ended up asking him, they said, Butch, they were never there, were they? And finally, Butch gave up and answered, no, it all started so fast. Once I started, I just couldn't stop. It went so fast. Oh. And yeah. And then he told them what happened. And they locked him up, put him in jail. That was it. They got justice. Case closed. Now, on November 21st, 1975, over 1 year from the murder, Butch went to trial, and his attorney, William Weber, tried to do an insanity plea, saying Butch heard voices telling him to kill his family. Thankfully, the defense didn't let that fly, and after deliberating, he was found guilty on 6 counts of second-degree murder. He was eligible for parole in 1999, but he still sits in prison to this day.
Wait, this man is still alive?
Yeah. I do believe so.
DeFeo. Kill 6. Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that fucked up?
Yeah.
So he's still sitting there. Wow. Saying the voices made him do it. Swearing up and down that Fellini did it. Hold on, I'm gonna... Yeah, because he's...
He's 69 years old.
Yeah, and he's still alive. Also, I didn't put it in here, but when they were, like, when they went to go and arrest him and, like, bring him into the police station for questioning, I had a brain fart for a second. Did you see the wheels turning? Anyway, they grabbed him. He was at the neighbor's house staying. He was sleeping at the neighbor's house while this was all going on. And they actually went there and tried to arrest him and read him his rights. And while they were arresting him, he was even screaming, "What the hell are you doing? You need to find Fellini. Fellini is the one who did this. You need to go get him." So, wow. To his very last breath until he was, like, caught, he swore up and down it was Fellini that had something to do with it. So, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Wow, yeah. This is just wild. And this just only sets it up for just the insanity that happened in this house, not just now, but later on, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the spark. Anyone that's seen the movie or even know about the Amityville
House,
just the spark in the whole debauchery that goes on.
Yeah, the whole snowball that took form and just rolled down a icy mountain. Especially the insanity plea that he tried to go to, everyone grabbed onto that and just took off. But I read in one of my links that he actually took a psychology test and he was fine. There was no form of insanity. He was fine. There's nothing. So,
wow.
Yeah. But I don't want to spoil it too much because when we go into the Lux family next week, it's a lot. It's a lot. And it's kind of sad because this may or may not be a hoax. The whole haunting of Amityville might not even be true, which is sad. Because I was like, oh, that's so cool. A haunting. But then it's like, we talk about Ed and Lorraine Warren. If you don't know who that is, they're like ghost people. They're demonologists, okay? They're like professional demonologists that go to haunted places. And they, she's a psychic. She does readings and like she swears by it.
You should do some of their cases.
Ed and Lorraine Warren? Okay.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. There's a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah, we should.
Okay. I'll look that. That can be one of our next cases. I'll do another Lorraine Warren case. But yeah, she actually goes to the Amityville Horror House and she swears up and down by it. But then again, there's like theories stating that it actually might not be true. And then there's the infamous picture that they apparently took of the ghost boy in the stairwell. And I actually have that picture, but you will see it next week. It's really sad because they say that that picture, they think that that little boy peeking out is actually John, the one who got shot. So that's sad. Yeah, that's sad. I'll give you a little spoiler. That's the little spoiler. But yeah. So that was the Amityville murders, guys. Thanks for this wild ride with me. And Tasha, you're a butthole because you fell asleep on me.
I'm now your replacement in Wicked Wives. Not a wife.
Yeah, it's going to be Wicked Spouse. Oh, God. She's going to wake up in the morning texting me saying, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Please don't hate me. I'm so sorry.
She's going to regret.
I'm going to be like, yeah. I'm going to be like, you know what? You're going to have to send me some roses and a pizza. All right, guys. Thank you all so much. Also, again, thank you so much for following the Instagram. And if you aren't following our Twitter page yet, go follow our Twitter page, please. I post so much more pictures on the Twitter, like, you don't understand. I don't like using Instagram because I can't post pictures on my PC. I have to post pictures on my phone, which is stupid. But all my pictures and all my stuff is on my PC. And I would have to send it to me and save the pictures on my phone. And it's just, it's a hassle, okay? It's a hassle. So. Yeah,
thanks for all the support. And thank you, Alyssa, for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for coming and filling in for me. All right. You guys, like I said, follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. We even have a Facebook page. We're on Anchor, Apple, and a bunch of other places I don't know. I think we're on Stitcher now. I don't know. I have to double check that. But if we are, that's freaking crazy. But yeah.
Thanks, everyone. I'm out of here.
All right. Love you guys. Bye.
I'm sorry what I did. Don't talk. Just welcome. I'm sorry what I did, but I couldn't help it. Don't know why I did it to him. I'm so upset. I keep it constantly and I kept it in the dream.